Ready?
Go. Hey everyone, it's Heather Whaley.
Hi everyone, it's Frank Whaley.
Today's Friday, March 3rd.
Yes, it is.
And we haven't been here for a while.
Nope.
We've been busy doing other things.
I was in rehabilitation center, mm-hmm. and I'm happy to report that I'm clean and sober.
What were you in rehab for?
You name it, girl. Actually,
crack. Cocaine.
That's not a funny joke, but because it could be true. But melancholia. I was suffering from a deep sense of melancholy, and so I decided to go into rehab.
And
I'm still suffering. I feel very, and I'm actually having a very melancholic day today, actually.
What was the treatment for your melancholia?
Sex therapy.
Okay.
I worked with a sex surrogate.
He
was very gentle, and he made love to me 3 times a day. But that somehow made me more sad.
Interesting. Interesting.
I'm actually very melancholic because I realized, I miss my children that are also your children.
Yes.
Supposedly.
Yes.
I know they're your children. I've always wondered whether they're mine. But here's what I've come to the conclusion that you and I, we didn't know each other very well or very long before we had children. Am I right or wrong?
That is correct.
And so what we had on our side then were at least 3 things. Youth. You're older than I am. You're older than I am.
I wouldn't have considered you to be a youth.
Right.
Like when we had kids.
I'm younger than you. I'm 8 years younger than you are.
No.
And
the opposite.
So I had youth on my side. You were a little bit older.
Nobody would believe that.
And are you saying you're confirming I look old?
No, you look older than me.
I look like Hume Cronin. Every day, I look more and more like Hume Cronin.
Okay, so what were the other things that we had going on?
I look like
us?
A cross between Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy.
Yeah.
My genitals look like Hume Cronin, and my face looks like Jessica Tandy. Anyway, so I had youth on my side, and I had a wife who's slightly older, but that's fine. But also, what we had then were lots and lots of drinking and going to bars. And can you name the other factor that
the third thing that we had going for us?
Yeah.
So there's youth going to bars.
Well, booze, but going to bars / yeah. booze.
And that
drinking.
Comprised an active social life.
Right. That's not the answer I'm looking for. For $100,000.
We didn't have responsibilities. We didn't even have a pet depending on us. Now we've got this dog that had surgery.
No responsibility. That's a good one, but that's not the other. That's the other thing is,
we were just so damn sexy.
Lots of intercourse. Sometimes booty.
No, what?
But
my point is,
you get my point. My point is now you're much older. We drink, but it's not the same, and we don't have the kids around to as mirrors into our own lives. They're off doing fun things.
They're off doing really fun things, like going to bars with their friends,
being exciting people, young people.
Yeah, and trying new stuff.
And what are we left with? We're left with this empty, barren. No booties.
Oh my God!
Land.
What
of
we have
desert.
Right now is a house that is like a geriatric center for a dog who had surgery and is like pissed about it.
It's like Night at the Museum in this freaking house.
Ghosts. Night at the Museum. I don't think that's what it's like.
You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, that's my melancholy. I'm feeling. I need to figure out the next phase.
You got to shake it up a little. You got to switch some stuff around.
You need the next chapter, girl.
Yeah, I'm ready for a new chapter also. And I'm excited to see what that's going to be.
Could be divorce.
It could be divorce. And it's interesting that you say that, because a new study came out.
I don't want to get a divorce, though.
Well, let's see if we're headed that way. We might be headed that way without even knowing it.
Cheaper to keep her, if you know what I'm saying.
Because here's the number one thing that destroys relationships, say researchers who studied couples for 50 years. That's a long-ass study for 50 years.
Okay.
They must have been like 1,000 years old at the end of it. Okay. So there are four main problematic types of communication in a marriage. Do you want to know what they are?
For what? Four types
problematic types of communication in relationships.
Go ahead.
Number one is contempt, expressing a lack of respect for your partner.
Contempt.
E.g. name calling, eye rolling, ridiculing.
Okay.
Number two, criticism, attacking a partner's character.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, defensiveness, mm-hmm. protecting from criticism by using excuses or shifting blame. And number four, stonewalling, withdrawing from communication by ignoring, zoning out, or acting busy. And the worst offense of all is contempt. That's what leads
people to
divorce. I thought
that was the first
one. Yeah, that's the main one. And they say it's more than criticism or saying something negative. It's when one partner asserts that they are smarter, have better morals, or are simply a better human being than the other, or keep insisting that they're younger than the other one, who is obviously, clearly to everybody who's watching, the younger member of the couple.
Is there another one under there, a fifth one that says when one of the people bring home a man in a sailor outfit and claim that they're their cousin and they need to spend the evening with them?
Research has shown that individuals who use contempt in their communication have higher rates of disease, including cancer, heart disease, and other illnesses such as the cold or the flu.
You know what another cause of divorce could possibly be? I only say this, it just comes to mind. Not that I know, I have any first-hand knowledge.
Okay.
Like when you're having intercourse with your spouse and one of them starts to laugh and makes like side remarks like, oh, God.
Like it starts doing an aside, like as if there's an imaginary audience there.
Yeah, like this.
They turn to the audience and they say, oh, here we go again.
Exactly. Or just offhanded remarks like, oh, God, here we go. Yahoo.
So,
aren't we virile?
So. Do you want to know how to eliminate contempt in your relationship? First of all, do you think that there's a measure of contempt between us?
Yes.
I would agree. So, number one.
I think that's a good thing.
This is how to get rid of it. Identify and share negative feelings.
Okay.
Oh, my God. For example, I can't believe you are canceling our date night to meet with your friends. Oh, wait. No, this is a bad thing to say. You're a selfish jerk. You never think about my feelings. I would assume that's a bad one. So what you're supposed to say instead is what you're feeling. I feel annoyed and sad because I was looking forward to spending time together. Listen, I'm never going to say that.
Right.
Add a request. I'd like to avoid this happening in the future by talking about it first before changing plans.
One problem we don't have is like not spending enough time together.
Yeah.
Trust me, folks.
Yeah, we don't need date night.
Yeah.
We've got like date constant. This date is never ending.
It's been date year.
Number three, invite your partner to the conversation. Do you think we can do that? I don't know about this. I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah, whenever there's
I think
I'd
rather get divorced than have to do all that.
It's all a bunch of bullshit. All you know, like I'll tell you why people.
I can identify my feelings. My feelings is that I'm pissed off.
I'll tell you why people get divorced. People get divorced because they don't want to be with each other anymore, and they want to have intercourse with another man who they claim is their cousin but is in a naval uniform.
You keep talking about having sex with a man, Frank. Are you trying to tell me and the person listening to this something? You want to get something off your chest? Furthermore, they give you a handy list of phrases you're not supposed to use in a marriage. And then they tell you...
A handy list of what?
Phrases that you should never use in a marriage.
Like for instance, Frank, could you leave us alone for half an hour?
Yeah, that probably wouldn't be...
That's something I don't think is Right, but go on.
This is that's sort of specific. These are just toxic general phrases.
Go ahead.
So I'm going to read you the phrases, and then you tell me, because they also give you alternatives, things that you should say instead. But I'm going to see if you can guess what you would say instead.
Or Frank, could you leave us alone for half an hour? Leave the condoms. Like, that's something no married man wants to hear. Go on.
Okay, so here's the number one. You don't deserve me. What would you say instead of saying, you don't deserve me?
You're a battle axe.
Oh, well, they suggest, I'm struggling to see us as partners right now.
Oh,
that's...
Yeah, that's...
I think if somebody said that to me, I'd be like, divorce. I'm struggling to see us as partners right now. Ew.
Well, try it. Let me see what I... Tell me that.
I'm struggling to see us as partners right now?
Yeah, we're not partners. It's not a law firm.
Okay. Here's the second one. Stop asking me if I'm okay. Everything is fine. What would you say instead of that?
No, I'm not okay. Everything isn't fine. Thanks for asking. That's what I'd say.
Right. They suggest,
I'm really
upset, but I'm not ready to talk about it yet.
I can remember last time anybody asked me if I'm okay around here. Hint.
Number three, you're pathetic.
Oh, I wish if I had a quarter for every time I heard that, I'd be Howard Hughes.
Well, what would you say instead of you're pathetic?
I would say,
good morning, Frank.
I would say, instead of you're pathetic,
mm-hmm.
I would say, you stink.
I don't like how you handled that situation, is what they're suggesting.
Yeah, I've heard these, but these are mild compared to some of the things I've heard.
Some of this is common sense. Like, these people are saying that you should not tell your spouse, I hate you. I mean, duh.
I've heard three or four of those ones you just mentioned. I've heard you're pathetic, but the worst part is you're pathetic is one of the asides that you did to the imaginary audience.
I do like this. He's pathetic. Okay, number.
Here's what you do. And like, for those out there listening, imagine like, you know, what they used to call, you know, like two people involved in a doggy style act.
What?
And one of them is
Are
like,
you? Oh my
the
one, God.
And one of them is looking to the audience saying, can you spell pathetic? That hurts, girl.
Number five, you're a bad parent.
Oh, man.
Ugh, God. I mean, this is common sense. You don't say that to a person that you're wanting to stay in a relationship with. What you're supposed to say is, I think this situation is triggering issues from your past.
Yes.
And the last one, which is sort of apropos to this moment right now, you're not supposed to say, I'm over this.
Well, I'm going to have to say it. I'm over this. You know how much... Like, I hate to travel on air flights, right? And
yeah.
And let me just give a brief chronology of why I'm such a neurotic, anxious mess. And it can be pinpointed to a period of 3 months in the year 1994, okay?
Okay.
Why can't I pronounce my THs? The first, I can't pronounce my R's. Instead of racketeering, I say whacketeering.
Good thing you don't have to say that all that often.
But whenever,
you're
R's.
You're not like the district attorney of New York City.
Anyway, the first, so 1994, I was flying from my dear old mom's house in Syracuse, New York, God rest her. And I had to get back to New York for a curtain. I was in a play. I went up to see my mom on Christmas. I flew up there on Christmas Eve, and I was flying back on Christmas Day in time to get to my curtain. Right, Heather? And it was a blizzard up there. And I got on the plane. It was a tiny little plane. It was Delta Airlines. It was a 30-seat plane. And it had been delayed and delayed and delayed. And finally, they said, okay, we're get ready to board. I looked at the window, and I thought, oh, it's still snowing really hard. But good, I'll make my curtain. Because in those days, I didn't give a shit about anything. I didn't have this crippling anxiety, right?
I think that it was underground. It was latent within you.
Let me continue. So the plane takes off. I'm reading the New York Times. I'm not worried about a damn thing. And I'm not thinking about nothing. And then I look out the window. After 15 minutes, I can still see, like, through the clouds and through the snow, like, treetops and, like, buildings. I'm like, why? We're still flying awfully low. And at that point, the plane starts to, like, wobble and foible and flip and flop all over the place. And shortly thereafter, the pilot gets on and says, folks, we got to turn around back to Syracuse. We're getting a lot of wind, and we're not able to get the altitude we need. Which, if I heard that now, I'd fly into a damn tizzy panic, right? But at the time, I was just pissed because I was still only worried about getting to the theater in time, 7:30.
Did you have an understudy?
No, I didn't have an understudy, and I didn't have any, like, you know, way to get in touch with anybody.
There was no cell phone,
yeah.
Right?
So, long story short.
This is already long. This is a long story long.
Long story short. No such thing as long story long. Long story short.
Just plain long story.
The landing gear froze up inside the plane.
Oh, shit.
And so, long story short, Heather. Okay?
Okay.
That plane had to make a belly flop landing, foamed runway at an Air Force base nearby. Okay?
Did they take you off the plane and bring you into the Air Force base?
No, Heather, I'm still on the plane.
No, and did you get to go into the Air Force base?
No, they transported us like Star Trek. Yes. They put this, I'm really making a long story short. Like, my ears were ringing for like 3 months from the sound of that thing, putting my head between my legs and kissing my ass goodbye. Okay? Landed, they put a chute out. Everybody had to, you know, go down this chute because there was the plane was, you know, like all fucked up. Okay, they put us on a bus back to Hancock Airport in Syracuse.
Well, that's funny. You were probably at Hancock Field Air National Guard Base. Is
nearby.
That where you were?
I can't remember the name of it. That sounds about right, but it wasn't the proper airport. It was
the National Guard
base.
It was
a short distance away, but they had to drive us. Then I got on another plane, what I didn't realize was that the post-traumatic stress of that was firmly embedding itself in the back of my fucking brain for the rest of my life. Then, okay, I made my curtain.
You did?
I did. I made it.
Oh, my God. Thank God.
But
what was the show? What was the play?
It was called, I think it was called, it was at Manhattan Theater Club. I think I was doing The Years. A play called The Years at Manhattan, okay. Manhattan Theater
Thank
Company.
God you made it.
Manhattan
oh my
Theater
God.
Company.
What would the audience would have rioted?
I think you're
Manhattan Theater Club audiences are notoriously prone to violence.
And my fans, if they don't see me, it's like, you know, it's like
Forget
Justin
it.
Bieber not showing
Forget
up for a damn gig. Anyway, shortly thereafter, I go to California to do a film. And what happens? The Northridge earthquake.
Oh, yeah.
The Northridge earthquake, middle of the night. Everybody running out of the hotel. I'm at the, what was at the time, called the Nico Hotel on Los Angeles Boulevard.
So you had a double whammy.
Kid and Play was in the on the same
terrifying
hall. The guy playing Kid and Play, I'm sure I've told the story before. The guy with the big, tall head of hair was running down the hall screaming, "Where are the stairs? Where are the stairs? Where's the stairs? Where's the stairs?" And I could just see the silhouette of his hair. That was number two, PTSD. Okay. Then, get this. I'm flying back from California to New York after I finish that film. And what happens? On the runway, the plane, what's it called? When the cabin...
Depressurized?
Depressurized,
okay.
While we were taxiing for runway.
Oh.
So everybody, like, Everybody's heads basically exploded.
Okay.
Shit came out of the air conditioning vents, whatever they call them. A guy comes running up from the back of the plane screaming, "It's a bomb! It's a bomb!" This is like
the flight attendant was screaming, "It's a bomb."
No, a passenger was freaking out, running up.
So that's illegal. That you're not allowed to scream, "It's a bomb."
It sounded like a bomb. It sounded like, you know, like the whole, like the plane came to a screeching halt. Like it, there was fumes.
Just hear me out. If you heard what you thought was a bomb, the bomb has gone off. You're still on the ground. You're alive. Everybody's okay. Like, why? I would be like, "Whoa, we dodged a bullet on that one."
Right, but in the moment, nobody's thinking, "Wow, that great, we dodged a bullet." People are thinking, "What the fuck is going on here?" And I'm looking over. I'm in first class, of course, getting ready to take my pill and go to sleep. And
What kind of pill?
A chill pill.
Okay.
Ernest Borgnine is sitting across the way, like all disoriented. He's on his way from California.
I love seeing celebrities on airplanes.
So this all leads me to just that, celebrities on airplanes.
Ah, okay.
Funny you should mention that, because after all this shit happened, I became terrified. Not right away, but I became terrified of pretty much everything involved with traveling. And I can pinpoint it to these three exact moments in my personal history, okay?
That was a lot. That was a lot to happen all in like one span of time.
That happened between Christmas and end of January, beginning of February, mid-February.
Okay.
Of 1994-1995. And so since then, how many years that has it been? It's been what, 30 something
almost,
years?
Almost.
Yeah. My body, as I mentioned earlier, has turned into a cross between Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy. And my mind has turned into like a crazy, like, if you could go inside my mind, it's like
one of those like skittish alley cats that's terrified and angry all the time.
Yeah. There's one of those in there, but there's also like freak show going on inside there.
That's not a correct term, I don't think.
A freak show?
Yeah. No, I don't think you're supposed to say that anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Freak show is politically incorrect?
I don't think it's polite to call people freaks.
Okay, so
although the Coney Island, they had that freak show.
But
that's more like novelty acts.
It's like a scary house / fun house. Because I'm not going to call what you used to call a scary house, because that's probably politically incorrect too.
I don't know what
it's
you
a racial
call,
slur.
Call it, is it like a haunted house?
A haunted house. A haunted house.
What are
house?
You talking about? What racial?
Never mind.
What are you talking about?
Haunted house.
Oh my god!
Suffice it to say, if you had a like a view inside of my mind right now, and there'd be like, you know, department, like there'd be a one official sign that said Department of Frank's Anxiety, and it would just be loaded with shit, okay? And it's all because of this. Now, what I read in the news today applies to this, because since then, whenever I get on an airplane, if there's somebody of note on the plane, I feel somehow safe.
Yeah, you think this plane's not going down with Jean-Paul Gaultier sitting across the aisle.
I was once on a transatlantic flight, red eye from California to New York. And I was very, it was somewhat inclement weather, supposed to be inclement weather in New York. And I was very upset and uptight. And I looked to my left, who's there? Scott Rudin.
Oh.
The famous producer who's now disgraced.
Yeah.
And to my right, like very close, very, 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 very close to me on my right.
Yeah.
Jodie Foster.
Jodie. Freaking Foster.
I had not a fear in the world. I thought, bring me my
warm nuts and champagne for takeoff, please.
Yes.
Ugh.
Warm up my nuts and let's fly.
Okay, so what did you read in the newspaper today?
And then one time, but then on the flip side, I got on and guess who I saw?
Who?
Candace Bergen.
Okay. Why is that on the flip side?
Who'd she play?
Candace Bergen, Murphy Brown?
Murphy Brown. I saw Murphy Brown on the plane. Candace Bergen, and I thought this flight's gonna be perfect. It's gonna be smooth sailing. Guess what? Horrible turbulence.
Oh.
Horrible turbulence.
What did she do during the turbulence?
I couldn't see. I could just see the back of her head, but I was looking at her thinking.
My eyes would be on Candy Bergen that whole time. I'm like, I'm not panicking unless she is.
I thought if Murphy Brown is okay, I'm okay. And the turbulence did pass. Now, yesterday or the day before, your friend Matthew McConaughey and his wife Camilla Alves McConaughey were aboard a flight from Austin, Texas, where I assume he lives, because he talked like, hey, you know he's from Texas. And they were flying to Frankfurt, Germany. God only knows why.
All right, all right.
All right, all right. Going to Germany.
It's going to Frankfurt.
They were flying on Lufthansa.
Lufthansa, yeah.
You can only assume, like, if I'm flying on Lufthansa or, like, KLM, I'm going to assume. So if I get on a Lufthansa flight over there to Frankfurt, and I see Matthew McConaughey and his wife, Camilla Alves McConaughey.
Mm-hmm. You're like, smooth sailing.
Who's,
what is it, not an eye patch? What's the thing called that they give you in first class?
Yeah, eye patch.
It's not an eye patch. It's like what a pirate wears.
Yeah, eye patch. I always would put an eye patch on when I'm flying. I'm going to assume, if I see McConaughey and his lovely wife, she's not more gorgeous than you, but I'm looking at a photo. She's very
beautiful.
Very lovely lady. Yeah. You're lovely too, Heather.
Oh, thanks.
Don't tell anybody I said that.
Okay.
And
so
I'm going to, if I'm on Lufthansa.
Lufthansa.
And he's on, I'm thinking, fuck yeah, I hit the jackpot today.
Right.
This plane is not going down. And even if it does. No, that would suck because
that would suck.
He would be the headline.
So overshadowed.
Yeah.
They'd be like, also on board.
No, they probably wouldn't even say that.
Yeah, I wouldn't get a mention at all.
No. Heather Lynn Buca Whaley.
No. They would be like, is she crazy? That rhymes with ukulele. And everybody would fall to pieces laughing. All right, go on. What happened to these poor McConaughey's?
So the Lufthansa flight, I'm just going to call it Tansa. The Tansa flight, because I can't say the word. So I'm going to shorten it, Tansa. The Tansa experienced extreme turbulence, and the plane was eventually diverted from Washington to D.C. to Washington, D.C. area airport, right? But
so they were flying from Austin.
Yes.
They made it as far as D.C.
And here's what happened. Inside the cabin of the Airbus A330, there was food all over the floor. There's videos of this. Napkins, plates.
Oh, my God.
It looked like a tornado had hit that plane. The plane had dropped over 4,000 feet.
4,000?
Yes. Seven people went to the hospital.
Oh, my God.
Everything was flying everywhere.
Yeah, if you're not in your seatbelt, you're on the ceiling.
Yes, she said out of respect for the fellow passenger, she wasn't showing any other people on her video. I want to see McConaughey. How's McConaughey, Mr. Cowboy?
What do you think he would do? Oh, Jesus.
All right.
Jesus.
But
Or do you think he's just like rolls with it because he's so stoned all the time?
No, he's...
He's probably sacked out asleep. He got on that Lufthansa and took an Ambien.
As for the McConaughey's, they reside in Austin with their three children. They spent the night in the Washington Dulles Airport Marriott.
No way. Oh, my God.
She said they made it to the bar within 1 minute before closing.
To the bar?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Are these people the type who buy out the whole first class cabin for themselves and their kids?
Nobody does that. Although
someone told me Dave Grohl did that.
I told you that.
Yeah, Dave Grohl had bought the whole first class.
That was on JetBlue. And I'm happy to report that flight made it no problemo because Dave Grohl was on the damn flight.
Wow. Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
That was a long talk there.
Yeah, it was, again, long story, even longer. Like, so long.
Yeah, well...
So long.
We should probably get going because your cousin from the Navy's here. So he's going to be spending a night and everybody's going to be good. I got to sleep on the couch because, you know.
We got the air mattress. You can stay in the air mattress.
Oh, yeah.
This is not very good podcast content.